Thank to the worship team. I really enjoyed that. I've never heard that. Am I the only one never heard? I like that. Watching television the other day, Texas Walker Ranger. A young boy had been, I guess bullied would be the word, going to and coming home from school every day. Walker was trying to encourage him and trying to teach him some things. And the boy told him, he said, "I'd feel a lot better walking to school if you'd walk with me." Walker looked at him and said, "I'll be at your house in the morning." And you know, for a kid going to school, having Chuck Norris walk beside you, got to feel pretty safe. Our God is so much greater than Chuck Norris. Our God doesn't just have stories about him. Our God can do anything. I know that individuals struggle. I know that some of you are struggling. We battle, we fight. Our enemy sometimes is relentless, never gives up. But our God is awesome. Our God can do anything, and it's in Him that we must have our confidence. David said that the battle is the Lord's. Paul phrased it this way: if God is on your side, who can be against you? So I just want to build up the Lord today, and I'm going to take you through a story in the Old Testament that we see Him and we see faith. And I want to take you through three defining attributes of God that help us better understand who He is and what He does. The first one, and I'll go through these quickly because most of you know Him, God is omniscient. That means He knows everything. You pull out your phone and you hit, and you go to the internet and you do a Google search to find out something you don't know. God already knows it. He also knows where you are and where you're going and what's ahead of you. He is omniscient. He knows all. Secondly, He is omnipotent. That means He is all powerful. That means there is nothing He can't do. If you'll remember, He spoke our universe into existence. That's His omnipotent power. And where you're struggling in your life, there is no battle too great. No storm too strong that He can't see you through. And thirdly, God is omnipresent. What that means is that God is everywhere. Everywhere. We can't get away from Him. Is He here with us today? Absolutely. He's here with us today. Is He with you when you wake up every morning? Absolutely, He is with you. He sees what you do in the light. He also sees what you do in the dark. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Let me tell you a story about three young men that knew everything I've just told you. They're Hebrews, descendants of Abraham. They had been taught about this great God that delivers. They have been taken prisoners and taken into Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. But these three are gifted. He has appointed them to positions of leadership in Babylon. And the king full of ego, decides to crown himself as a god, and he has a golden image of himself created 90 feet tall. Now this sanctuary, from back wall to front wall, is 60 feet. So imagine half again in height. And the king, when it's created, issues this command. When the trumpets blare, everyone must bow down to my image and worship. Everyone. He liked to see people worshiping his image. But the three Hebrew young people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Hebrews. They are convinced there is one God and only one God. And that God said, you shall have no other gods before me. So when the statue was present and the trumpet sounded, everybody bowed down but them. And the story quickly got back to King Nebuchadnezzar. You have three leaders in Babylon that will not bow to your image. He immediately came to the scene. And he said, what are you doing? The command is simple. When my image is present and the trumpets sound, you are to bow and pay homage. They said, O king, we cannot, for we are Hebrews, and there is only one king and one God to us. And the Bible says he became so angry, his face got disfigured. Have you ever seen somebody so angry, their face just twists and turns? He said, if you do not bow down and worship my image, I will throw you into that furnace or that kiln that is used for the making of brick. They said, O king, whether you throw us in that furnace or not, we know our God is able to deliver us, and we will not bow. He became indignant. He said, make that furnace as hot as you can get it. Seven times if you can make it. He commanded his strongest soldiers to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and tie them up, bind them, and throw them into this horrifically hot kiln or furnace. And they did. And the word tells us the furnace was so hot, the men that threw him in died from the heat exposure. Just remember what they told Nebuchadnezzar. This needs to be our heart stance. Our God is able. Our God is able to do any and all that we have ever thought. The king thinks it's over. Nebuchadnezzar has dealt with the problem until he looks through an opening in the furnace. And in shock, he sees something that blows his mind. He sees people walking around in the furnace. And he calls over his staff and says, didn't we throw three men in the furnace? Yes, O king. He said, well, I see four men in the furnace walking around. And the fourth is like a divine being. He's different. And the king orders, walks up to the furnace, commands Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out. Now, this is what you've got to understand about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it so applies to us. They're in the nation of Babylon, taken there by force. But they respect the king. They're under his authority. So when he speaks to them as king, he's going to obey them. But when he asserts himself as God, that kind of changed it for them. So he brings them out. And he himself says, I will worship your God. And our people will worship your God. If you have a God that can do this, he deserves to be worshiped. So I want to try to encourage you today. Encourage your faith. That you might understand that God is in control. He knows what's going on. He's there, and he can deal with it when the time is right. Three simple points. The first one is this. They believe that God knew what was happening to them. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you put in charge of the province of Babylon. They have defied your majesty by refusing to serve your gods or to worship the golden statue that you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they were not alone. They understood what they had been taught from childhood coming up, that God was everywhere. Abraham first taught it to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to his 12 sons, that God is everywhere and that God is all-knowing. Have you ever been in a situation that was frightful? And you thought to yourself, does God see this? Does God know what's going on? Does God know my struggle here? He most certainly knows. Now the gods of Nebuchadnezzar knew nothing. They were just idols standing. That 90-foot statue of gold worth millions of dollars was nothing. You see, our God knows you and me. He knows your past, your present, and your future. And it is amazing knowing your past that he loves you anyway, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that knowing who you are today and where you struggle today, that God still loves you? He knows the battle that you're going through right now, too. Maybe it's on the job. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's something that you're battling, discouragement, depression. He knows. And when you cry out to him, he already knows what it's about. That's why when we pray, we don't have to always articulate the words just right. God knows the heart. That's why we seek his guidance before we make decisions. If you have funds to invest in stocks or bonds, or let's say that you've just inherited $100,000. And you, in wisdom, want to plan for the future. And you happen to know a stockbroker who is always right at predicting the future of what's happening in our economy. He's never missed it. Wouldn't you want to go to him and say, where should I put my money? It's like he knows. And so therefore we come to God because not only does he know, he holds the future. We seek his guidance in raising our children. Sometimes when you're raising children, you don't know what to do. Amen? They didn't come with instructions, and it just so happens you've got three different models at home trying to figure out what to do. But God does know. Why not consult Him and seek Him? He is everywhere, all the time in your life. The wisest thing that we can do is to seek Him. Number two here, they believed that God was able to deliver them. Even though they did not know the doctrinal phrase omnipotent, they certainly believed God was. This is what they say. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Why did they believe God was omnipotent? Because they had been taught their history. They knew about Abraham's calling to leave the Ur of the Chaldees to go to a place that God would show him. They had heard about the bondage in Egypt for 400 years and how God mightily delivered Israel. They had heard about the walls of Jericho crumbling down when the Lord went before them. They knew that David said, "The battle is the Lord's." In Hebrew, there are a number of words that describe a God who has no name. One of the phrases for God is El Shaddai. El Shaddai means all-powerful one. They would cry out in the midst of battle and struggle to El Shaddai, who would be the one to deliver them. Now, they find themselves in an unusual predicament. How many people here have been threatened to be thrown into a furnace? Anyone? As a matter of fact, although they had heard the Jewish history, no one had ever been threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace. But the same principle applied for them that applies for you. God is able. And don't say, "Well, I don't know what God's going to do." They could have said the same thing, but God is able. Regardless of the battle, regardless of the struggle, regardless of the obstacle, God is able. He is omnipotent. When He decided He wanted to create a being that had a free will that could worship Him, first thing He had to do was create a place for Him. And He said, "Let there be light." He just spoke it into existence. Our God is omnipotent. He is powerful. Remember when the angel came to announce the birth of Christ, and the angel came to that young Virgin Mary? The angel told him, "You're going to have a baby, and you're going to name him Jesus." She said, "How can this be? Never known a man before." Do you remember the angel's response? "With God, all things are possible." And it's not just a phrase, friend. We need to understand. Now, let me take and revert back to my opening illustration about Chuck Norris. There's a lot of jokes about Chuck Norris. I picked out a couple today. Let me just share a couple of them. Chuck Norris took a CPR class and brought the dummy back to life again. All right. Chuck Norris has a large grizzly bear rug in his room. The bear isn't dead, it's just afraid to move. But they're jokes. That's all they are. Our God is not a joke. Throughout history, He has shown Himself strong when needed. We are called to trust Him. We call that faith. These three Hebrew young people had never been in this situation before, but their faith just rolls up in them. Not knowing the future, they simply stated with confidence, our God is able if He does, our God is able if He doesn't, but we will not bow down, King Nebuchadnezzar. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore He is able, once and forever, to save everyone who comes to God through Him. Speaking of Christ, I know that sometimes we question our walk with God. We question, are we where we need to be with God? Am I still okay with God? And the writer of Hebrews again says, therefore He is able once and forever to save everyone who comes to Him. If you've come to Christ in faith, He is able to keep you. He is able to protect you. He is able to take you with Him. He is able. What builds my faith sometimes? I will sit down at my computer and Google images from the Hubble telescope. Those images are awesome. When you look out into the galaxies, when you look out in some of the things in our own Milky Way, it's breathtaking. The best thing our scientists can say is, well, we think there was a Big Bang theory. That's where it all came from. They can't explain where the mass came from because material mass does not create itself. It cannot be regenerated. They can't explain where it came from. They can't explain what caused this Big Bang. But we know. God said, let there be light. Wherever you're struggling, wherever you're battling, be it something personal, be it a matter of faith and standing for Christ, your God is able. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you need to trust Him. I suspect if that young boy, it was walking to school with Texas Walker Ranger beside him, knowing he was 6 times world karate champion, that he wasn't too concerned about the bullies that might jump out behind the tree. What we need to do is just remember who walks with us. Number three, they believed that God was with them. omnipresent. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, but they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the fourth looks like a divine being." Throughout history, Christian martyrs have gone to their death. Some crucified like Christ, some burned at the stake. Others covered with fresh skins of animals that had been slaughtered and the lions were turned loose on them. But they have gone in the confidence that they were not alone, that God was with them, that if God did not deliver them that day, that they would be with Him throughout eternity. David says, "I can never escape from your presence, O God." If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the place of the dead, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning or dwell by the furthest ocean, you are there. There was a child born named Nicholas Herman. He was French. At an early age, he joined the army out of poverty. At least a soldier had food to eat. When he returned from serving in the army, he felt the call of God upon his life, and he surrendered for the ministry. He became a monk. You might know him better as Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, unknowing to him, has composed one of the most popular Christian books of all time. And you know what he did at the monastery? He washed dishes in the kitchen and repaired sandals for the other monks. But God gifted him with wisdom. Let me give you a couple of lines of his. I think I've already shared this one with you. That God is everywhere, all the time. And we need not cry out loud to God. He is nearer than we think. Following his death, some of his friends found writings in his room. They compiled them. The book is called Practicing the Presence of God. And it is a devotional book that will just help bring you into the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we get so busy, we even run ahead of ourselves. But God is still there. God is with us. He is here this morning, speaking to each of us and drawing near to us. Now, I talked to you about God being omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. But I want to give you two more characteristics of God. God is immutable, and God is loving. Now, some of you know what that word means. Immutable, it means never changing, unalterable. And here's what I want you to get from it. The same God immutable, that cared for and looked out for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that walks with you every day. He does not change who He is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we search the Scriptures for promises. Because the promises of God stand for eternity. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. That's why you need to be in the Word of God. It builds your faith as you see what God has done. You know what God can do. If God has delivered in the past, God can deliver in the future. God is immutable. The last one there, and this is the most amazing characteristic of God, that God is loving. We, if we're not careful, through our idea of an ultimate being, we will fantasize Him to be some great judge that wants to catch us doing something wrong and punish us. But that's not the God that we find in the Bible. Remember, when He kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden because of their sin, what did He do? He made them clothing. Because our God is loving. You can never wander away. David said, if I go to the place of the dead, you're there. Regardless of where you are today in your relationship with God. Whether you're on the mountaintop and you think I could walk into that fiery furnace, or whether or not you're struggling just to keep that claim of being a Christian intact in your life, you still have a loving God. But here's what we have to do. We have to learn to step out on faith. We have to learn to put our thoughts and our convictions into action. That is faith. That's what these three young people did. They could easily have conformed to the culture that they had been placed in. Everybody else is bowing down around them. It would have been so easy to have bowed down to and said, after all, everybody else is doing it. But they walked to the beat of a different drummer. They knew that God was watching. And that they were children of the Lord God Almighty, and they would not bow to this golden statue that meant nothing. My challenge to you, when you were tempted to fear, tempted to cower down, tempted to let the enemy defeat you, regardless where it is, that you, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with David, say, my God is able. Tell your enemy that. He knows it and he certainly doesn't want to hear it from you. Now I'm going to have a stand in just a moment. We're going to play some soft music. And if there's a battle or a struggle going on in your life, if you would like to simply slip out to an altar to pray, there's something about kneeling before God that satisfies the soul. That penitent action that says, God, I am broken and I need you. I encourage you to come pray. We're not going to embarrass you or anything, but just a chance to step out and firm up your faith in the Lord. Would you stand with me? If you'd say, Pastor, I am struggling today, would you just step out and just slip to an altar of prayer? And there, communicate with God. Just between you and Him. Are the others? I'm struggling today, Lord. I need to come pray. Are there struggles at home that have you feeling defeated? Step out. Don't be afraid. Maybe you're facing an opposition that has you frightened. Our God is able. We are children of faith. If you can't trust God with actions, you might as well believe in that Chuck Norris is invincible. Because God requires that we show up in the battle that He's going to win for us. Just a time to pray. Time to say, God, I need you. A time to cry out our failures. God, would you move in my life? If you're still standing and you'd say, Pastor, when you pray, would you pray for me also? When just slip your hand up and write back down. You don't have to keep them up. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, in the midst of our storm, the battle waging around us, we call out to you. We know and we believe that you are truly awesome. Forgive our failure. Lord, we make a decision today to stand with you, to stand strong and resist any, every, and all temptations that assail against us. Like these three Hebrew young people, may we with boldness side with you, Lord. Whether it's a family struggle, a battle at work, maybe discouragement in your own heart, maybe a temptation to drawing you astray, that you would say, Lord, this day I surrender to you. I claim your authority and power in my life. I yield myself to you. It's my Lord, my Savior, my God. And Lord, I will stand with you. I will stand with you in confidence because I know you are able. Now, Father, minister to each of us according to our needs. And we ask it in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.